Okay, let us get to where we were up to. We're on Chaf Amabez, almost two-thirds of the way down, where the word says, actually halfway down, the word says Tufine, right in the middle of the Omud, right before the bracketed base. So we're talking about the mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol to bring a special carbon mincha each day, called the Minchas Chinuch, called the Minchas Chavitin, or the Minchas Kohen Gadol. It happened to be the same carbon that every Kohen brought the first time that he started doing Avod in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Pasuk says that it has to be baked. The Pasuk, the word uses Tufine. So we're going to have a couple of halachas about how this carbon had to be baked. So Tufine, B'shas Hava Tufine, V'yein B'shachris Tufine. You have to bake it at the time that you'd be able to bring it. Meaning not very early in the day, not before dawn on the day that you have to bring it. You can't bake it so early in the morning. That which we learned in Maseches Tamid, he'emidu osa chavitin lasos chavitin, that very, very early in the day, they decided who was going to do the different avodas that day. They decided who was going to make the chavitin, the osa chavitin. The people who made the chavitin got ready. That doesn't mean they baked it very early, it just means they got ready to make the hot water for the eventual baking. But it doesn't mean that it was baked so early in the morning. Tufine, another drasha on Tufine, machlokas. Rav Yosi, b'shem Rav Chanina, mitagna v'achagach ofeosa. Rav Yosi says that first the dough, the flour had to be fried, and then it was used for baked, for baking. Rav Acha, b'shem Rav Chanina, no, the opposite. Ofeosa v'achagach mitagna. No, first it's baked, and then it's fried. On the Chora, when halachas is fried, it means somewhat deep fried, because regular frying is like baking. Tufine, that's one machlokas. We'll get back to that machlokas. Tufine, another machlokas, teyafena na. You have to bake it na. No, we've had a mesechas psachim. I'll talk about na. Na means semi-raw. Semi-cooked, semi-raw. Na does not mean totally raw. It means semi-cooked, semi-raw. Meaning, well, we'll talk about what that means in a second. Rebbe Omer, teyafena na. No, we darshin, it should be baked na when it is beautiful. Meaning when it is not, if any prior process had happened to it, it would be blackened. So teyafena noa means it should be baked when nothing has happened to it yet. Rabbi Dosa, Amar teyafena riba. The word teyafena just means many times you have to bake it and bake it many times. Asin ilin plugvasa, kahanin plugvasa. So the Gemara now links the two machlokas that we just quoted. The machlok is about whether you first fry it and then bake it, or bake it then fry it. That's machlokas one. Machlokas two is, how do you darshan the word teyafena? Does it mean baked when it's semi-done, or does it mean baked when it's beautiful, when it's na'eh? So it says, it's a parallel. Manda amar teyafena na'eh, the one that holds, you should bake it when it's beautiful, meaning before it's anything is done to it, before it's blackened. Kamanda amar ofe v'achach b'tagna. That's like the manda amar that says bake it and then fry it, because at the moment that you bake it, nothing has been done yet to it, and therefore that's a kiyum of teyafena na'eh. Umadamar teyafena na, according to the one who says bake it na when it is semi done already, so then kamandamar mitagna v'achachofa. That means like the mandamar that says first fry it and then bake it, so by the time you bake it, it's somewhat done already. Okay, so that was the regarding teyafena. So the Mishnah had said, period there. The Mishnah had said that when the Kohen Gadol, how do we get into this? When the Kohen Gadol died, so then that day, the second half of his Minchas Chavitin is brought from the money of the Tzibur. That was one Manda Amar. And then Reb Shimon had said it comes from the Yarshim. Reb Shimon, this is one of the seven Machlok Simen. Reb Yehuda said it comes from the Yarshim. Tanakama said it comes from the Tzibur. Reb Yehuda said it comes from the Yarshim. And it is Hukraf Shalem. The whole one is offered. Says the Gemara, Lo Sof Davar Shemes. Fine, the Mishnah says that if the Kohen Gadol dies, then the Tanakhama said it's offered from public money. El afilu nitzva, afilu nitzcha mimum. But does the same halacha apply even if the Kohen Gadol became tamei, or even if he got a mum that he cannot serve in the Beis Hamikdash? Does this halacha also apply that the other part of his karban mincha would come from that money? So the Gemara says, answers: Tani Rihu de Bar Pazi de Bar Delay. That's his name. V'afilu nitzcha mimum. Yes, even if he was pushed away because he had a mum, this halacha would apply. But, Tikkun and other mafarshim explain, not if nitma. The Gemara was asking, does even both these cases? The Gemara says, yes, even the case of mum, but not the case of nitma. So only if he gets a mum would you consider it as if he's really mufka, excluded, and you would say that he brings it from the we bring it for the public funds, but nitma is not as much of a tchiyah, or it's a different type of tchiyah. We don't have a limud to teach me that if nitma, we would bring it from these funds. So it sounds like that you wouldn't bring it. You wouldn't bring it if he was nitma. You would wait until he becomes tahar. Period. So we have a brisa. How do you know that if a kohen gadol dies and you didn't appoint anybody after him yet, that you bring them karban mincha from his yarshim? Meaning, this is the second opinion we had in our mishnah. This was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. You learn it from that pasuk. You might think that you bring it half and half because you brought half in the morning. You just bring the other half in the afternoon. Osa, the word Osa teaches me Kula Amarti Dibur Rabbi Yehuda. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, as we had in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it comes from the Yarshim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Eina Ba Ela Mishal Tzibur. Rabbi Shimon argues, says no, it comes from the Tzibur. Shene Emar, as it says, Chak Olam. It's a eternal decree. Misha Bria Bris Kerusalo. It's a chok from arranged with somebody whose treaty, whose bris is forever. That means the tzibur. The tzibur lives forever. Ain't tzibur mace. And therefore, that's who we have a libra that it's referring to. Shimon says it comes from tzibur money based on the pasuk. Kalil taktar, the end of the pasuk, is totally burned. Kalil haktara, is totally burned on the mizbeach. Fine. So that was all. We had to finish up yesterday's daf. So now we get to today's. Kohen Gadol Shemes. So related to what we just said, we just want a brisa that Reb Shimon holds. Reb Shimon is the shita in the brisa that says it comes from the Yarshim. I'm sorry, it comes from the Tzibur based on a pasuk. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Ba Bar Mamo Ba Yimichlefa Shita Sid Reb Shimon. Tama is a stira in the shita of Reb Shimon. Taman Amar Mishal Yarshim, Vahach Amar Mishal Tzibur. We have a stira. Because what the Tanakama, who is Shita Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, say that one of the seven takanos was that if the Kohen Gadol dies, the money comes from public funds. So it's a Din D'Rabbanan. It's one of the seven takanos. Mashma from our Mishnah, that means our Raisa, where does the money come from? Comes from the Yarshim. Because it says Midrabanan, one of the takanos was that it comes from public funds. But we just had a brisa that says Reb Shimon learns it comes from public funds from a pasuk. So that's a stira. In our Mishnah, it sounds like the fact that it comes from the public funds from the Tzibur is a Didrabanan. And from the brisa, it sounds like it's a Didaraisa. Stira answers the Gemara. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Ba Volo Yosu Maksha. Isn't he asking a good kasha? It's a good kasha. It's a Yerushalmi type of lashon. Asar of Yaakov bar Acha, Rav Abba bar Brishem Rav Yochanan. So now the Gemara answers. Tvar Torah, who should take Bamin Atzibur? Really, Mida Oraisa is based on the pasuk, like he said in the Braisa. It comes from the pasuk of Chak Olam, Mimi Shabris Krusalo, forever, and then from Mida Oraisa it comes from the Tzibur. But, continues the Gemara, Hayisi Omer Yigvula, I might have said, Mida Rabbanan, I might have said that you collect it from a private collection, meaning you don't use the regular public funds at the Beis HaMikdash, but you would have a private collection to pay for the leftover, what you have to, with the mincha that you have to bring. You might have said it's a separate pot, a separate collection that is done. So that's the takana, hiskidu shitei ba mitshuvas halishka. So then the takana was, no, you don't have to have any separate appeal for this deed. You just take it from the general trumas halishka in the Beis HaMikdash. So that is how you fit the Braisa and the Mishnah. Really, it is a Din D'Oraisa, and the D'Rabbanan, though, just clarifies where the which public funds would be taken. The general public funds, for the Trumas HaLishka, you don't have to have a separate collection for this. If you look at the Gemara in Menachos, where this parallel Gemara is quoted, a different answer is given. Is it a Din D'Oraisa, or is it a Din D'Rabbanan that you take from the public funds? The Gemara there says, Shtei Takanos Havi. Rabbi Yavo said there are really two Takanos. The Oraisa meet the Tzibur. Meet the Oraisa came from the Tzibur, like Reb Shimon says in the Pasuk, in the Braisa. Kiva dechazu to call midcha ka lishka, but at a certain time in history, the public funds were getting depleted. They were getting worn out. As Rashi there says, Rashi there quoting the Gemara in Yuma, Ushnos Rishayim Tikots Rena, Zem Mikdasheni, Sha'amdu Yosir Migimel Meos Kohanim Gedolim. There were more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim in Bayesheni. It was only for 420 years, 410 years. I forgot which one is which. 410? 420 is the second one. 410 is the first one. To call Echad Hotzi Shnaso. So there were so many bad Kohanim Gedolim in the time of Bayesheni, and they kept dying. Because so and there was time in between when they appointed a second one. So it came from public funds, but then the Shomazan Lishka was getting depleted. There was no money left. So that's why they made a takana. Midah Raisa comes from the Sibor, like it says in the Raisa. But the Mishnah is referring to this earlier stage. Tekinu, because Kibbutz Bitchag Lishka, Tekinu to the Gabi Miyarsh, to the Gilifi Miyarshim. So they made a takana that comes from the inheritors, so that the public funds wouldn't get so depleted. But then, Kibbutz Bitchag to the Kapashiba, but then they realized that people were just not doing it. They weren't bringing it. So, Ukba Daraisa, so they went back to the Din Daraisa. So that's a different answer given in that Gemara for how do you answer this issue of Darabanan versus Daraisa. There is, I alluded to this yesterday, and that is, there is a stira in the Rambam, how the Rambam paskins. How the Rambam paskins in this issue of if the Kohen Gadol dies, does it come from the Yarshim or not? In the Hilchas Tamidin Musafin, in Paragimel, the Rambam says, Meis Kohen Gadol B'Shachris, Acher Shehikrev Chatzi Yisaron, V'lo Mino Kohen Acher, and they didn't appoint another Kohen, Mevian HaYarshim Yisaron Shalem, V'osin Oso Chavitin, V'shlema Yisakreva. So, if the Kohen Gadol dies in the morning, then it comes from the Yarshim. Meaning, he paskins like Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, that you bring it from, I'm sorry, like Reb Yehud in our Mishnah, that you bring it from the Yarshim. And if you look in Hilchas Shkalim, the Rambam says in Gimel in Shkalim, Gimel Dalid, Kohen Gadol Shemes V'lo Minu Acher Tachtov, Makriv Nesach Chavitin Mishum HaZalishka. So it's an outright stira. How do you get out of this theorist? This is what I alluded to yesterday. The Minchas Chinuch points this out. He does not suggest an answer. But the Sfas Emes there on that Gemara Menaches says maybe the difference is, and it does fit into the language, the first day or all the days in the interim. On that day that the Kohen Gadol dies, and that's what the Rambam talking about in Hilchas Tamidim, that's when he says that the Yarshim have to bring it. That day the Yarshim are responsible. But let's say then there's 2 weeks, 3 weeks before they appoint another Kohen Gadol, so that's when it will come from the Shubas HaLishka. That's how he answers the skew in the Rambam. He's talking about, even though the Gemara doesn't say anything like that, but that's how the Rambam understands it. He passes like the Yarshim on that day, and Shubas HaLishka from the rest of the day. So that's Sfas Emes' suggestion. Okay, now we continue. Rebbe Yosa, by the bracketed Aleph. Rebbe Yosa. Rabbi Yosa, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Bai. Rabbi Yosa asked the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mahu, we said in our Mishnah that when they bring the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol dies again in the morning, so they bring his carbon in the afternoon, they have to bring it Shlema. The language of the Mishnah was Shlema Haisakreva. It has to be brought complete. So we're going to analyze what does that mean it has to be brought complete. Shlema B'Shachris or Shlema Bein Harabayim. Does that mean that forever now they have to bring it complete? But does that mean they have to bring double the amount that's usually brought? The Kohen Gadol usually brings a whole Isaron. So in the afternoon now, do they have to bring another whole Isaron? And the next day, do they have to bring an Isaron in the morning and an Isaron in the afternoon, which is double what the Kohen Gadol used to bring? Or no, Shlema means that's a rebrought whole, but they only do it once a day. Instead of doing it twice a day, half of an Isaron, they do it once a day. That's the halacha. That's the question. Shlema b'shachris or shlema ben arbayim. It doesn't mean whole in the morning and whole in the afternoon. Oh, shlema b'shachris or b'tela ben arbayim. What does it mean whole in the morning and nothing in the afternoon? Meaning you have to bring it whole. We know that. But does that mean you bring the same amount that's always brought, so you just bring it only once? Or do you bring double the amount? Shlema in the morning, shlema in the afternoon. That's the question. So the Gemara answers, the Torah calls it a mincha tamid always. So if it's brought always, so then, just like the garbage tamid is brought in the morning and the afternoon, it must be here too, it's brought in the morning and the afternoon, meaning you bring double. Double the amount that the Kohen Gadol usually brings is a special din of the Kohen Gadol that he splits it and he brings half and half. But here, after the Kohen Gadol dies, before you get another one, you have to bring it whole, and you have to bring a whole Isaron in the morning and a whole Isaron in the afternoon, double the amount that is usually brought. Fine. So now the Gemara says, another question though. So we've just decided that you bring a whole one in the morning, whole in the afternoon, but Shloshes Lugin Mahin. There were 3 Lugin of oil that were brought with this carbon. Is that also doubled? Usually the Kohen Gadol split the 3 lugin, 1.5 in the morning, 1.5 in the afternoon. But we've just said that you double the flour. You bring the whole Isaron of flour in the morning and a whole one in the afternoon. So do you double the oil also? Shloshes lugin shachris or shloshes lugin ben arbayim, 3 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Oh, logam mechza shachris, logam mechza ben arbayim. Or do you bring 1.5 in the morning and 1.5 in the afternoon? Meaning do you double the oil just like you double the flour? Or Amar Rav Chizkiya, another question. Of Hada Tsrichalei. Also the following I need an answer to. Shnei Komsin. Not only does the karban, this mincha, is brought with oil, it's also brought with frankincense, with special komets. So again, is that doubled or not? Shnei Komsin Mahin. Shnei Komsin B'shachmas, Shnei Komsin Mein Harabayim. Do you bring two Komsin now in the morning and two in the afternoon? Though the Kohen Gadol used to just have it and bring one and one. O komets achas shachas, or komets achas Mein Harabayim. Or do you bring one in the morning, one in the afternoon? In other words, now that we've established that when they bring the Kohen Gadol's carbon whole, you have to double it because they're not allowed to have it, but you have to bring the whole one in the morning and the whole one in the afternoon. Do you have to double the oil also, and do you have to double the frankincense? So the Gemara answers first about the frankincense. Amar Reb Yosef. Again, these next two lines, all different mafarshim talk about, give different pshatim. We'll give one pshat. Amar Reb Yosef, klum lamdu l'komets lomi minchas chote. Don't we learn the komets, don't we parallel the komets by this karban from the komets that's brought with the minchas chote? Malahalon shnei komsin, avkan shnei komsin. Just like there, it is double, the komets is double the amount of flour. So do here, it's double. So Rabbi Yosei says that just like the flour is doubled, so too the komets, the frankincense, has to be doubled. So now we go back to answer the other question about the oil. Amr Chizkiya, klum lamdu shloshes lugin lo mitamish abein harbayim. Don't you learn the lugin by the minchas chavitin that we're talking about? Learn it from the tamid of the bein harbayim. Malahalon shloshes lugin, avkan shloshes lugin. Just like there, you bring shloshes lugin each time. So to here, meaning it's doubled each, just like the flour is doubled, just like the frankincense is doubled. So to the oil is doubled. And the Gemara ends off with a question though that you can't prove it from the tamid. Because umat taman srichale avkan srichale. No, and this is how some of the Mepharshim explain it. No, we're not sure. We have a question by the Tamid too. What does that mean? Let's say you didn't bring the Karbat Tamid in the morning, and you have to bring the Karbat Tamid, two of them, in the afternoon. We have the same question there. Do you double it or not? So it's not clear if you're only bringing an afternoon one, if you bring three lugin or half, one and a half lugin. So too we have the question when it comes to the oil here as well. So the maskana, according to the way we just read it, was that if a Kohen Gadol dies in the afternoon, so you have to bring his carbon in the you have to bring the other half of his carbon in the afternoon and for the rest of the days until we find another Kohen Gadol. Whenever you do that though, you have to bring a whole Yisar and a flour each time, each morning and each afternoon, which is double the amount that he usually brings, and you have to bring a whole komets each time, two komets in each time, which is double the amount. And the oil, we're not sure about. The oil, we have an Ibai Deloishita, is not answered how much oil has to be brought with those karbanos. Period. Okay. Next lines of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, remember, on Daf Chaf and Aleph, had quoted seven takanos related to the public funds. So the Mishnah had said that there was a takana that there is no me'ila when it comes to the ashes of the paraduma. There was no me'iwa. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon bar Nachman, Rav Shimon bar Yonasan, or doesn't ask, states. The Gemara states, B'dinu sheyimaluba. Really, mida oraisa, there should be me'iwa. Right? Because that's what it says, it's takana, that there is none. The hain gazu shelo yimaluba. Right? So it sounds like from the Mishnah, that mida oraisa, there should be an isra me'iwa by the ashes of the Kohen Gadol. But they were gozer, not, there's no me'ila by these ashes. Ask the Gemara, v'hatani, but we have a brisa that says chatas. The word chatas by the paraduma teaches me, malami shemol and ba. You treat it like a carbon chatas, and there is me'ila. Even though the paraduma is burned outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is still me'ila by it. But we dash it from the word ba. So we have a pasuk that teaches me that there's no me'ila by the ashes of the paraduma. So how can the Mishnah say it's a din derabanan? It's a daraisa. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Avo, different stages. Birishona, hayu, mishtakshikin ba. Really, me daraisa, you're right. There is no me'ila by the ashes. But then people used to use it for improper purposes. They used to use the ashes to put on their wounds to help themselves get healed. I mean, there was no me'ilas. They just used it for regular purposes. So if a gazru sheyimaluba, but then Chazal goes there, therefore, that there is me'ila by these ashes. Kivan she nigderu gazru sheyimaluba. Once they saw that the geder worked, and therefore people were not using the ashes for any other purpose anymore, so they got rid of the gzera, and they said, there is no more me'ila. Fascinating topic. You know, you don't find this too often, where Chazal make a law, and once they see that the law did its job, they take the law away. Usually, once you have a gzeira, it's not temporary. It's that they make a law, period. But here's an example where Chazal made a law, because the people were violating. Once people stopped violating, they said, okay, you don't have to worry about it anymore. So that is regarding the ashes of the Paraduma. Yeah. Asks Alex, the Sfas Emes is Kasha. The Sfas Emes is Menachas. What did Chazal do? Midaraisa there's an Isra Me'ila. How can they say there's no Isra Me'ila? What did we just say? Midaraisa there's an Isra Me'ila. There is no Isra Me'ila. And then Midarabanan, we said that they would go through Isra Me'ila. And then we say, Kamash Vulan, after they did better, so then they didn't violate anymore. Ask the Sfas Emes, what was the Havamina? That Mida Araisa, that there is Mi'ila, right? What was the original thought? What do we think in our Mishnah? Mida Araisa, that there is Mi'ila, there were goes there that there is no Mi'ila. How could they do that? What's the Havamina? There were goes that there is no Mi'ila. Eich yisak nuchachamim la'akar davar min ha-Torah b'kum v'asei. Rechachamim don't have the power to do that. Take away the issue of Mi'ila. So Tzvas Emes' answer is v'efshar. It could be Hevinu Hapirish Shlo Yimol and Hanin Shlo Yaviu Carbon Meila. The Havi B'Shei Bal Tasa. Maybe they always knew there was an Isser of Meila, but the Chachamim just told you not to bring the carbon. That's all it meant. B'Shei Bal Tasa, which is somewhat difficult. Maybe not to bring the carbon if there's an Isser, and they're saying that there is no Isser, then they're allowing people to use it. So it's still Kumbah say somewhat. So how can Chazal do this? So I thought maybe there could be a different answer. That is something that we touched on earlier, and we're actually going to do it maybe in a Tuesday night shiur next week, but maybe we won't. If we mention it now, we'll see. And that is a Reb Chaim's chiddush about Me'ila. That if you look at Hilchas Me'ila, Reb Chaim says as follows. He has a couple of questions. First question is that there is a halacha of a poel. When a poel, a worker, is in somebody's field, the Torah writes, and Sukkim Sefer Devarim, that he's allowed to eat a certain amount from the peros that he's working with. Right, if he's working in the apples, he's allowed to eat some apples. That's understood. It's part of the, I'm working in your apple field, I'm allowed to eat some of the apples. I'm allowed to eat some of the grapes. There are all different halachas that Mishnayos talk about. You're not allowed to wait until you get to the best ones to eat the best ones. If you're working in the averaged ones, you have to eat from the average ones. And you can't eat different fruit. Then if you're working in the dates, you can't eat the figs. All different halachas, but generally there is an assumption that workers are allowed to eat from the field. The Torah, the Gemara though says, if the fruit are Maestro Sheni, so you can't eat Maestro Sheni if it's outside Yerushalayim. If the fruit are grapes, and you're a Nazir, so then you're not allowed to eat them. You're only allowed to eat them because it was your friends, but you can't violate any other Avera along the way. The Gemara says, though, if they belong to Hekdish, so you're not allowed to eat them based on a Pasuk. The Gemara quotes a separate Pasuk in... Where's this Gemara? I don't remember where the Gemara is. Quotes a separate pasuk in Me'ila, Dafyud Gimel. Quotes a separate pasuk, Re'achalim Ute Hektish. It quotes a separate pasuk to teach me that if the fruit are Hektish, you're not allowed to eat from them. Ask Reb Chaim, you don't need a separate pasuk to teach me that if they're Maestro Sheni fruit, you're not allowed to eat them. You don't need a separate pasuk to teach me that if they are, if they're wine for a Nazir, if grapes for a Nazir, you don't need a separate pasuk to teach me that. Why all of a sudden do you need a separate pasuk to teach me that Hektish fruit you're not allowed to eat? What's the Havamina? Why would I have thought that you're allowed to? It's an Avera like all the other Averas. That's Reb Chaim's Kasha. Says Reb Chaim, Akei Nira Lomar. That's why you have to say, says Reb Chaim, it appears to say, and he quotes three other ayahs to this, which we'll mention in a minute, that at root, the Isser of Me'ila, the Isser of getting benefited from the Beis HaMikdash, at root, is an Isser Gzela. It starts off as an Isser Gzela from the Beis, it's a serious Isser Gzela, because it's from the Beis HaMikdash, but at root, it's an Isser Gzela. He says, and that's why, what's the shear for Me'ila? Shaveh Pruta. Two people are allowed to combine to violate Me'ila. You violate a Chatzi Pruta and I violate a Chatzi Pruta. We can combine. I could get a Chatzi Pruta's worth of Hana today, and 2 weeks from now, another Chatzi Pruta's worth of Hana, and I violate. When else could you have two shear that are mitztarfin l'zman meruba? All of these prove to me that at root Me'ila is an Isser Gezel. It's a special Isser Gezel, because it's from the Beis HaMikdash, but it's an Isser Gezel. So that's why, says Reb Chaim, that's why you need a separate pasuk to teach me that if it's Hektish fruit, you can't eat it. Because I might have thought that just like, what does the Torah say? You're allowed to eat this guy's fruit. In general, how could you eat his fruit? It's stealing. The Torah matters it. So that's the Havamina. I might have thought that just like the Torah matters the Isser Gezel from a Hedyot, it matters only Surah Gezel, even from Hektish. So that's why I might have had a Havamina that even Hektish fruit I would be able to partake of. Kamashwala, no, this is a different type of Gezel. it's me'ilah, it's from the Beis HaMikdash, that's why you're not allowed to partake of it. But that's why you need a separate pasuk when it comes to hekdesh fruit, and you don't need a separate pasuk by Ma'aser Sheni and by Nazir, by the others. That's Reb Chaim's chiddush by me'ilah. Talks about it more, you can look at it, Hilchos me'ilah, Perakas Halach Alf. But if that's true, maybe one can suggest as follows. If me'ilah is in the world of gezel, in the world of dinei mamonis, so then maybe we can understand how they could get rid of an isser me'ilah. Why? Rabbanan have a power called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. When it comes to monetary issues, so Bezdin has power to say this is Hefker and this is yours and this is his. Bezdin has that power. So again, in the world of Isurim, that the Sfasem is Kasha. How could they just take away the Isra Me'ila? But it could be if Me'ila starts off as an Isra Gezel, so then maybe Bezdin's power of Hefker Bezdin Hefker has some power over it, and that was the Havamina, how could they take away the Isra Me'ila. Suggestion, but if not, we still have to work on it. But that's one idea. But it's a good way to mention the Reb Chaim, though. So, yeah.
This
is Machlokas Tanoim, whether the Karmel is Peshogi remains. We pass it as Peshogi, I think. Machlokas Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. Sounds like it was using the ashes b'mezer. To say they rave the carbon, that's usually brought to Peshogi. Right. That's another difficulty. Last three lines of the Gemara. We had this Gemara before. V'yel HaKinin. And the Gra adds in a Gemara that we had before. That the Gemara really here quotes the case where you find money in between the two pots. The pot that was for the Ola and Chatas birds, and the pot that was just for the Ola birds. So the Gemara said that you bring it, if it's Mechzel, you put it in the Ola barrel. That's the Gra adds in by Ozbeis. Ha'isha azos b'mahi mischaperes. So if you bring it all as Ola birds, so what happened to this woman who's Chayav Karban Chatas? Om Rabbi Yitzchak Tanai Bezdinu, it's a Tanai Bezdin. It's Bezdin makes a condition. Ha'masabek is a kinim, who masabek is a psulas vesa ovdos. The supplier of the Beis HaMikdash, no, he'll make sure to throw an extra in order to cover this woman. Woman's chatas. Period. Okay, we are up to the last perek of Masechta Shkalim. Halacha Alef, Masnisa. Kol Arokan Adam Sabi Yerushalayim Tahorin. Chutz Mishal Shuka Elyon Devar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the Mishnah says, if somebody finds spit, saliva, on the streets of Yerushalayim, so we can assume that they are Tahor. What does that mean? If you look in the first parak of Maseches Kalim, it lists all the Avos Atuma. One of the Avos Atuma is liquid that comes out of a Zav. Usually, if you have a liquid of somebody, Tuma always goes down a level. But the halacha is not only is a Zav an Avos Atuma, but any Mashkin that comes out of a Zav. His spit, his meiraglayim, any liquid that comes out of a Zav is also an Avos Atuma. So if you find spit on the floor of the street of Yerushalayim, and it's very halakha l'maisa. Let's say you happen to walk by and somebody steps on it, or something like that, or gets on his clothes. Are his clothes tummy now? Because his clothes have become tummy. A person can become tummy from an avatum also. So is he tummy? So lachin do, you can assume they're all tahor. Because people are tahor in Yerushalayim. Except for if you find it in the upper marketplace. We'll see why. We'll see who stays there. Dib Rabbi Meir, who frequents the Shukah Elyon? The Gemara will talk about it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. It depends when. B'shai Kol Yomos Hashana, all the days of the year. Sheba Emsa, if you find it in the middle of the street, Tameyan. Because most of the year, people are Tamei, walk in the middle of the street. Sheba Tzad in Tahorin. And the Tar people during the year, they walk on the sides of the street. So if you find it on the sides, it's Tahor. But on Yantif, just the opposite. Because, as the Tikkun Chazan here quotes, because there's a chi of latar asma beregel, there's a chi for everybody to become tar on the regel, so it's just the opposite. Shebe emsa tahor, and the ones who are in the middle, spit found in the middle of the street will be tahor. Shebe tzadin tamein, mebisha hamiyut in misalkin lestadin, the ones who are in the miyut always go to the sides. Period. That's about roke. Now we have another Mishnah. Kala Mishnah, another part of the Mishnah. Kala Kelim and Zab Yerushalayim. We have the next part of the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. Any kli that's found in Yerushalayim, derech yirida lebeis hatfilah, on the way down to the mikvah. In the olden days, they had two different steps. They had one staircase going down to the mikvah, and one staircase on the other side going up for the mikvah. Says the Mishnah, if you find a kli on the steps down towards the mikvah, tamein, you can assume it's tamei. Why? Because we assume that it was dropped on the way down when the person was going to be tovel it, but it itself is tamei. The derech aliyah tahorin, and if you find the kli on the steps going up, you assume it's tar because you assume it was already nitbal. Shaloki ridas and aliyas on Rabbi Meir, because the way down and the way up are two different ways. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no kli on tahorin. Rabbi Yossi says even the ones on the way down are tar because we're not gozer tuma the suffek on kelim and Yerushalayim. except for specific types of kelim that were used in cemeteries. Kagon, chutz, min hasal, a basket that was used to gather bones, v'hamagref and the shovel, v'hamaritza and the hammer, hamiyuchadin lekvaros, that were miyuchad for kvaros. So those are definitely, those are assumed to be tamei. There's a shuvah of the Radvaz, very important shuvah halacha lemaisa, in Beis Tafresh Yud Aleph, where the Radvaz was asked regarding those who take bones of their relatives to Eretz Yisrael, and v'noagim b'hem minag bizayon, asher koflin es komasa, and sometimes to transport them, you had to deal with them, and you couldn't always act b'kavadik. Okay, they didn't have like what we have today. We have, you know, separate places on the airlines in the Aronos to put it. But it's, imagine in those days, you know, traveling by donkey, by horse, trying to bring somebody to Eretz Yisrael. It's 500 years ago, so it's much more difficult. So he was asked, is that right? Sometimes the bones break, sometimes they get separated. Is there a real chash, a problem? So says the Radvaz, Hadavar Barur, it's clear. Shekoshu Lutoelis HaMeis, anything that's done for the benefit of the mace, ain't bo mishum bizayin. There's no bizayin there. Anything that's done for the covenant of mace, ki zehu kvodo, this is his covenant. This is why we delay funerals to have relatives there or to have a bigger levaya. This is why we do anything with covenant of mace. Anything with covenant of mace, at least within reason, is done, because that's considered covenant of mace. That's a bizayin of mace. What's the raya that maybe something might happen to the bones? You know, what's the raya? It's a Mishnah in Shkalim, says the Radvaz. Come on, I did that, Fyomi. It's a Mishnah in Shkalim, says the Radvaz. Mesech Shkalim, what did it say here? That what is Rabbi Yossi's Shita? Everything's tar except for the kalim used by a burial. Because of the barrel and the shovel and the hammer. What kind of hammer? What are you using a hammer for? Says the Radvaz, quotes the Pirshim Mishnah and the Rambam in this Mishnah, use a hammer, where is it, Marisa? Klisha rotisim umishabrin bo atzamos hameis, lahachnisa besal, lahalicha mimakom lamakom. Use the hammer to smash the bones into small parts in order to put it into the basket to carry it from place to place. What are you carrying bones from place to place for? Says the Radvaz. It must be that you're doing Gilatzarech of the mace. It must be for some good reason, Gilatzarech of the mace. Why else would you be using a hammer to smash bones? This is a must be that it's l'kavod ha'meis. You see, l'kavod ha'meis is not a problem for something to happen to the bones. Harayat haroesh, rei matir l'ratzi tatsamos, lo licha mimakom l'makom. V'stama demilsa lo yosekin ela l'kvodo shel ha'meis. Fine. That's called the milsa, and even that's what he says. Based on our Mishnah, you think that this Mishnah is just listing a bunch of kalim. The Rabbis learns halacha l'maisa, a very important yesod from this Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah. Also, we have this in Maseches Pesachim. Sakesh Nipses Biyadala. Let's say you find a knife on Erev Pesach. Shochid Bamiyad. You're allowed to use it to shecht your current Pesach right away, because you could assume whoever knife it was tovilled it yesterday already, because they were going to want to use it for the current Pesach today. Bishlosha Asar. If you find a knife on the 13th, Shona Umatzpil. But then you have to be tovil it, because maybe, even if people were going to use it for their current Pesach the next day, maybe they didn't get around to be tovilling it yet. So you have to tovil it, and then hope you'll have Harif Shemesh, the sun will set, then you'll be able to use it tomorrow. That's by a knife. Kofitz. A kofitz is a knife, a different kind of knife, but it's like a knife that's used for smashing bones, like a very much stronger, harder knife. So a kofitz couldn't be used for the Karan Pesach, because the Karan Pesach is an Isser Shiras Etzem. So a kofitz, this type of knife, if you find this, if you find this on the 14th, even on Erev Pesach, you have to be tovel it again. Because you could assume that nobody toveled this yesterday, because they knew they weren't using it for their Karan Pesach today. So that's why you have to be tovel it again. If you remember back in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Ayin, we had the Gemara quoted, what about the Karban Chagiga? We pask in the Karban Chagiga, you're allowed to break the bones, not like Ben Tema. So why don't you assume that they tovled it yesterday because they wanted to bring the Chagiga today? So the Gemara there quoted that it was a case of a ghost, the Nasi was a ghost case, and there were Pesach, there was two Sfeikas, one Sfeik. You can look back at the Gemara, Daf Ayin Amabe is right on top. Okay, Chalabas or Lios B'Shabbos, if the Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, Soche B'Miyan, then you could shecht even the Kofitz right away, because everybody knows that it can't be Tovel on Shabbos. There's an Issa D'Rabbanan of Tefillas Kelim on Shabbos, because it's Misakein, so you could assume that everybody did it before Shabbos. B'Tezvav, if you find these Kelim on Tezvav, on the first day of Pesach, Soche B'Miyan, then you're always allowed to shecht it right away, you could assume that it was Tovel beforehand. Nimsa K'shur L'Sakein, if you find a knife and a kofitz, the sakin and the kofitz tied together, if you find the kofitz next to the sakin, how are you a sakin? You could treat the kofitz like a sakin and assume that it was tovelled yesterday. Okay, we'll come back if we have time to an interesting tshuva of the Sholu Meshiv related to this last line. But the Sakan and the Kof is connected to each other. Vayter in the Gemara. Rabbi Avin b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Katsran. The Gemara first talks about that first halacha we had in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah said if you find spit, if you find roke in all of Yerushalayim, it is tahar, except if you find it in the Shukha Elyon. Who used to frequent the Shukha Elyon? Says Reb Shua ben Levi, Katsran shel Nachar Mayisham. There was a non-Jewish laundromat there. And we know there's a din d'rabbanan that all Nacharim have the din of Zavin. So therefore, that's why all rogue found there has to be treated as Tameh. Amar Rabbi Chanina, a different shad, Arodos. Arodos hayunochrin b'Yerushalayim. Look at the gra adds in a line here. We'll do the gra's girsa. Arodos in Os Aleph hayunochrin sham. The arodos are it's an animal mentioned in the Torah. And arodos is a type of wild donkey, and they used to kill them there. But who was there? Also, Nachrim used to kill these donkeys there. Therefore, the Nachrim were there, and they have the Lach of Zavim. Either way, that's why the roke in this Shukha Elyon is considered Tame. The Gra now adds in a line, Arbi B'shua ben Levi, Maisa Hayinokhrin Arodos B'is Tartia Shel Melech. There was a story that they were doing this in the courtyard of the king. V'yoli Regalim Ishtakin B'dam Ad, back to the Gemara, fifth line, Ad Arkubo Sehen. And the people who you were being Ola Regel passed through this area where they were killing these animals, and they went through up to their knees in dam, up to their ankles in dam. They went to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim didn't say anything. In other words, the Chachamim didn't say, you're Tameh. This is Dam Nevela. We had a big discussion in Pesachim about Dam Nevela. Nevela is Tameh. What about Dam Nevela? Is that Tameh? Chachamim didn't say anything, meaning they were saying that Dam Nevela is Tahar. Okay, now the next 15 lines, we already had in Maseches Pesachim. So we're going to go through it. We had it in the Dam Nevela discussion. Is it Tameh or Tahar? Rav Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Where am I? Maisa b'pirda b'shem Beis Rabbi. There was a story about a mule in Beis Rabbi, Shemesa, that died. V'tiras d'mem b'shem Nevela. And they were Metaharit b'shem Nevela. They said the Dam is not Tameh. Rav Blazer shol Rabbi Simon ad kama. Rav Blazer asked Rav Simon, how much Dam was there? Meaning, he was asking, were they mitaharit because Dam Nevela is always Tahar? Or were they mitaharit because there wasn't enough of a shear of Dam there? He wasn't sure. V'lo agive, Rav Simon did not answer him. Shaul Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he asked Rav Shimon Levi, and Rav Shimon Levi answered him, Ad Rav Yistar, Yosef ben Kantame. Shimon Levi answered him that really, Dam Nevela is Tameh, they just didn't have the right shear in Beis Rebbe. That's what he answered him. Uvash Reb Elazar de lo chazar be Reb Simon Shmuasa. And Reb Elazar, who was busy asking these questions, he was upset at the first person he asked, because the first person didn't answer him. He was upset at Reb Simon. Period. Reb Bibi have Yasid Masti Hadin Uvda. Reb Bibi once was repeating this whole story. Amalei Reb Yisrael Bar Bisna. Reb Yisrael asked him the same question as before. Ad Kama, how much Dam was there in Beis Rebbe that they were Matirit? Amalei Ad Reb Yisrael Yosef Mikan Tameh. Was it because there wasn't enough of a shear, and that's why they were Matirit? Ubat Be. And Reb Yitzchak, I'm sorry, who's taught Reb Bibi, was very upset at him for asking this question. Amr Lei Reb Zrika, begin to Avishar Lachat Bat Be. You're upset at me because I asked Akasha? All he did was ask a question. What are you so upset for? Amr Lei, no, begin to Lahavis Daiti. I was out of it for a couple minutes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you asking me a question. Why was I out of it? Because I was Dumb Reb Chagin. As Reb Chagin said, we have this. And your life will be hanging for you in the balance. Those are people who only know where their money is from that year, but they're worried about the following year. Next part of the pasuk. This is people who buy bread from a sidki, from a factory owner, meaning he knows where who's going to be for the next month. But for the next, after that, he has no idea, so he's worried. The last part of the pasuk is referring to somebody who buys from the baker on a daily basis. He has no idea where his food's going to come from the next day, so he's always very worried. And says this rabbi, and I'm like one of those people. So I'm sorry, I was upset at you. I was out of it for a little bit. I was thinking about my parnas. My kadon, what's the halacha though? Back to this issue of Dam Nevela. Is Dam Nevela Tameh or Tahar? So hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Besorah al Dam Nevela Shutar. So the Mishnah says in Idios, Rabbi Yeshua ben Besorah says that about Dam Nevela that it is Tahar. So therefore we have an answer. Dam Nevela is Tahar. Says the Gemara name, maybe it's no Raya. Mahu Tahar, Tahar mila hachshir. Maybe Tahar in that Mishnah just means Tahar, that it's not machshir l'kabal tumah. We know that there were seven liquids that food has to come in contact with in order for the food, the fruit or the vegetable to become tamei, and dam is one of them. But what about dam nevela? So maybe that's all the Mishnah means, that this dam nevela is tar, it's not machshil lekabel tuma, but holy tamos betamei, but it itself is tamei. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that's the pshat of the Mishnah, because taman taninan, we have another Mishnah in Chulin, dam asheretz metamei kibsaro. The Mishnah says that dam asheretz in machshirin, I'm sorry, dam asheretz metamei kibsaro, a dam of a sheretz is metame like the skit, like the basar of a sheretz. Metame ve'eno machshir, it's metame, but the dam of a sheretz is not machshir kabel tuma. Ve'ein lanu kayotzebo, ends the Mishnah, and there is nothing like a dam of a sheretz. And we assume, doesn't that mean that a dam of a sheretz is metame and not machshir? So when the Mishnah says that nothing is like dam of a sheretz, it must be there's no other parallel to that. So you cannot say that dam nevela is metame and not machshir. So that can't be the pshat of the Mishnah we quoted. So it must be the Mishnah should be taken literally, and the Mishnah is a proof that dam nevela is tahar lagamre. So the Gemara answers no. Maybe ein lanu kayotzebo means something else. The ein lanu kayotzebo kashir tumaso. Maybe the line in the Mishnah Machshirin, when it says dam sheretz is unique, it's unique in that the dam and the basar of a sheretz have the same shear of tuma. But maybe there is something else out there that could be like dam sheretz, that it's betame and not machshir. So we end up saying we don't know if that Mishnah is a raya or not. Period. We didn't answer it for the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yossi finishing up. Pliga b'trei amaron. Really, it's a machlokas amaroim where the dam nevela is metamir tahar. Chad amar tamir v'chad amar tahar. Manda amar tamir k'rabi Yehuda. Manda amar tamir k'rabi Yeshua b'pesora. It's a machlokas. Amar Rav Avdoma'a t'bin nechusa. V'yos. This is correct. The Reb Yehuda, it's good that this person said that Reb Yehuda is the one that says Tameh. Why? Reb Yehuda Morayna Debein Nesiyahave. Reb Yehuda was the posek for Rebbe's house. And what we say before in that story of Rebbe, the story was that in the house of Rebbe, they were only mitzaharit because it wasn't enough of a shear. Meaning the psak really was that Dan Avila is Tameh. And they just didn't have enough of a shear, so it works out because Rebbe was the posek of their house, and Reb Yehuda was the posek of their house, and he's the one that says it is Tameh. Period. Yeah. So they walked in the blood up to their knees. So if the rabbis that told them nothing to worry about, they obviously hold tahar. But really, according to Yehuda, it would be tameh. They would have to be matara themselves. They would have to go to the mikvah and wait till the next day and become tahar the next day, according to that story. So you have to be careful. Again, this is all halacha lemaisa. Here we bana base hamikdash. We're going to have to be careful. Let's say we have an animal of a pet of ours. If somebody has believes in pets, they have a pet that dies, and you get some of the dam on you. Or see, it's a big issue. Dam nevela is a tummy or tar. Okay, next part of the Gemara. Kol harokin. So the Gemara says the Mishnah had said that all rokin are tahar, except for the rokin, the shuka elyon. So ask the Gemara. Lokin amar Rabbi Yavo b'shem Rabbi Yosi b'chanina. Lokazu al rokin b'Yerushalayim. Don't we have a saying that they were not gozer on any rokin in Yerushalayim? So how can we say that? Right, there was a sheet in the Mishnah that said some in the middle of the road, the side of the road. So Gemara says no. Ha idbar al Rabbi Yavo b'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Kasar shel nachar ma'yisham. The reason they did it, obviously, this person here did not know the previous line that we already mentioned. No, it's talking about the shuk elyon is tame because there were a bunch of nachrim that frequented there, and that's why we gave it the status of tame. So now we get to the sheet in the Mishnah that said that whoever was the majority walked in the middle of the road, the minority walked on the side of the road. So just a little bit more elaboration. B'shayi Mos Hashana, on the rest of the year at Tamein Mahalchin Shibolas, the Tamein walked in the middle of the road. Shibolas means in the middle, in the path which is where the rove crosses. Vatahorin Mahalchin Min Hatzad. We don't have time for it, but look in Sefer Shoftim, where the Shibolas and Sibolas story, we don't have time to talk about it again, but that's, you'll see why the word Shibolas is used. Those of you who don't remember Sefer Shoftim. So anyway, they walked in the middle of the road, Vatorah Mahalchim in that side, and the Torah walked on the side. The Gra changes this Girsa. Hatamei and Mahalchim Stam, the ones who walked in the middle didn't say anything, they just minded their own business. Vahatahorim, Oren Lamprosho. And the Tahorim on the side say, stay away from us, we don't want to be near you, don't make us Tamei. Bishas HaRegel, on Yantiv was the opposite. Hatahorim Mahalchim Shibolas, the Torah walked in the middle of the road because they were the rove. Vatamei and Mahalchim Atzad, and Tamei walked on the side. Hatahorim Mahalchim Stam, again, change of Girsa. The Tahorim who walk in the middle of the road that were stomped didn't say anything. But Tameh on the approach, the Tameh on the side of the road said, don't get near us, we would make you Tameh. Period. How could you say that sometimes there's Tumah on kelim going down to the mikvah, on certain types of kelim. Don't we have a mesorah that there is no gzeira of tumah on kelim in Yerushalayim? Gemara answers, no, mikiva shenimsu derech yirid lebeis hatfilah, since they're found on the way down to the mikvah, naso chiyach. That's a reyasa. That's a proof. If it's usually we're not gozer, but if it's found on the way down to the mikvah, it must be that it was dropped on the way down to the mikvah. Abishol ha'yukari osan siporin. Now we're back to the hammer in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that the meritza is a hammer that's assumed to be tameh. So Abishol ha'yukari osan siporin. Abishol says they used to call that hammer a siporin, a fingernail. Mandamrei siporin shayidomel siporin. According to the one who says that, because it looks like a siporin. Mandamrei meritza shemeritza es ha'evel lebeis hakvaris. They used to crush the stones in order to make a proper beis hakvaris. But not, the Rambam that I mentioned before says not only that, but they used to crush the bones in order to transport them. Kofitz b'chulu. So the Mishnah had said in the last line of the Mishnah that if a kofitz is tied to the sakin, you could assume both were toeheld. The kofitz is like the sakin. The Brisa says just the opposite. Tani hasakin kshura la hariyu kamosa. If the knife is tied to the kofitz, you assume the knife was also not toeheld, because the sakin is like the kofitz, the opposite of what it says in the Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here, Beth Hashem, and tomorrow, Beth Hashem, we finish up. Sorry, finish up. Come early. There's a great Vilna Gaon coming up early in tomorrow's shiur. So come early. Be on time. And Beth Hashem, it's the last day. Let's do it properly. Finish with a bang. Today's shiur was a Zecha Nishmas. Fager Reisel Bas Menachem Manish.